And now I have an audio going. Brothers, what say you about verses 17 through 25 in Philemon?
Thank you for that, brother. It was edifying. You didn't leave a whole lot for us to go on. I think you covered it pretty good. Maybe just a couple of thoughts. You touched on some of them, so I'm probably going to repeat it. The one where you, verse 21, where he said, "Thou wilt also do more than I say," and it's going the extra mile. And I think, like we've been talking about lately, that going the extra mile and doing more than what we're, like, the bare minimum that we're required to do, is pretty much always a sign, a good sign. People who don't go the extra mile in their faith, in repentance, in anything, it's never a good sign. It's always a good sign, and we can have confidence, basically, in the obedience of those who go above and beyond and do more than what they're required to.
Amen.
And then verse 22, "I trust that through your prayers there shall be given unto you." That made me think of Mark 11, where Jesus was teaching about prayer, and he said, whatsoever things ye desire and pray, believe that ye shall receive them, and ye shall have them. Basically, we're not to doubt when we pray. We're to believe that basically God hears the prayers of his saints, and he will answer them if it is his will. So, again, we can see that Paul trusted in that, which is the sign of faith. And then maybe just the last note that jumped out at me was in verse 24 of the list of names who he calls his fellow laborers. Well, one of those, Demas, if I'm pronouncing that right, in 2 Timothy 4:10, Paul writes, "He forsook him, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." So we can see that endurance and falling away from the faith is definitely something that, it's not impossible, falling away from the faith the way once saved, always saved does, because Paul bears record that Demas was a fellow laborer.
Yeah.
He doesn't call him a hypocrite, he calls him a fellow laborer, and then afterwards, this guy fell away, obviously, and forsook him, having loved the world.
Yeah, that is something, how he says that. Paul gives us Paul doesn't just say he fell away. It's interesting how Paul says he loved the world. And that's pretty much a common thing when people fall away, I find, is they love the things of the world. There's not too many people that fall away and go, "I just can't do this, I'm not strong enough," and they stay where they are. No, they love the world and they go back to it. As Peter says, they go, like the sow goes to her wallow, right?
Yeah. So those were my thoughts. That I think you covered everything else.
Can I add something? There was a verse I was going to add before the other brothers chime in. You had said doing more. I teach a simple little basic concept to men and sisters, and that is always be leaning towards God, not towards the world or your flesh. So when it comes to picking out what I should wear, I'm not sure about that. Lean towards God. Hey, I'm going to go do this. Oh, I don't know. That does, seems kind of worldly. Maybe I better not go to that place. I'm going to go here. Always lean towards God, and you'll always fall in the right direction. If you lean towards the flesh and the world, you're headed in the wrong direction. And it comes to our works. Always lean. If you ever say to yourself, "Well, I don't know, maybe I did enough," always lean and go, "I can do more." And it reminds me of Peter talking about the righteous are scarcely saved. What will become of the sinner? And it just reminds me that we can't have this attitude that Jesus did it all for us and he's going to take care of everything for us, so I don't have to worry about laboring. Actually, we have the other side of the covenant to carry. A covenant's an agreement of two parties. Christ did his part perfectly. We are the weak link in the covenant, and if a covenant fails, it is going to be you or I that causes it to fail. So we best be laboring the best we can, not only for God's glory, but also as fruit that were of him. And last thing, I've learned that the more ministry I do, the more study I do, the more teachings I do, the more helping others I do, the more fit I am for the kingdom of God in my own life. And as I compare myself to the people in the Bible that Paul says imitate me, I find like my multiple laboring, rather than just going, did enough, I find that it makes me fit and worthy for the kingdom, because I see other men in the scriptures doing that. I never see them letting up or going easy. I see them blazing and going out in their lives seeking after the kingdom. So, yeah, thanks for that thought, brother. Brother Purgos, Brother Akuo, any comments on what I brought?
I liked it very much, brother. One thing I had heard loosely from history, not dogmatic, don't hold me to it. In my own hand, some archaeologists at one point found a bunch of IOUs, and that was like a common expression. So maybe some historical backdrop for that.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that before.
Okay, good. And then some things you were just talking about, your works and being zealous and doing things, that made me think of Revelation 3:2. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. So, yes, it's not good to just be alive. You have to be fully alive.
Good point.
Okay, then I have a couple of other thoughts, unless Brother Akua wants to go first.
No, you can go.
Okay. For verse 17, it says, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. That made me think of Matthew 25:40. This is when Christ is talking about those on his left hand and those on his right hand. And this is the verse I'll read from Matthew 25:40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So Christ is the judge, and he says that when we're doing these things, for example, feeding our brethren or clothing them, I mean, it's as if we're doing it to him. So I saw that parallel. And for verse 18, if he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on thine account. That made me think of Christ, our redemption, and Psalm 49:8. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. And verse 7, the verse before that in Psalm 49, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. Verse 7 there basically just destroys anybody who says, I'm working my way to heaven. Because God says you can't. So I'm just thinking about how we forgive others because of what Christ has forgiven us. And verse 19, it says, in Philemon, it says, I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I'll repay it, albeit I do not say that me how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. This reminds me that even when we just do what we're supposed to, we're still not to the point we probably should be. That reminds me of Luke 17:10. So likewise, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Forgiving your brother, for example. And then verse 21 in Philemon says, having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. As Brother Zealous likes to talk about the extra mile all the time, that made me think about the Old Testament and Caleb, especially. Deuteronomy 1:36, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he will see it. I will give him and his descendants the land on which he has set foot, because he followed God, the Lord. Because he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. It's not just enough to do all the things you're supposed to. You're supposed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And one little thing that just sort of popped out at verse 25. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. This made me think about the difference between people of the spirit and people of the flesh. For example, the churchianity people always seem to think that, oh, my grace is through my flesh, or my grace is through, my joy is through my flesh, because they don't realize the spiritual realities they're missing because they're not born again. most of the time. So we're in a spiritual war.
Amen. Anything else, brother?
That's what I had for Philemon.
Look, can I add something what you just said, or I want to key off of something you just said? You were talking about how we're in profitable service. You're just doing what you're supposed to have done. It reminds me of Ecclesiastes, where Solomon says, fear God. This is the duty of man, to fear God and keep his commandments. It's a good thought for us all to remember. Like, we got to be careful as true remnant ecclesia saints of God. We got to be careful that we don't walk around thinking, yeah, I'm really something. I'm kind of doing what God's called me to do. And look at around me. Nobody else is really doing it. And we can get a little puffed up in ourselves if we're not careful. Look at, I dress different. I act different. I'm not part of the churchianity system. I'm not part of the world. We can get puffed up and think we're something. But guess what? We're just doing what's commanded of us. That's it. Don't be patting yourself on the back. This is what we're supposed to be doing. Imagine going to your job and telling the boss, hey, look, I showed up at the machine all day for 10 hours and I did my job. And the boss is going to be like, woo-hoo, yeah, you're supposed to. That's what you get paid for. Nobody's going to be giving you accolades. And so I think it's interesting. We have to be careful that we can kind of puff ourselves up and think we're doing something more than everyone else when we're just doing what God's called us to do. And we would just want to be servants in that. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. Bless you, fall.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. We have to be careful, as there's so few of us true saints that are abiding in sound doctrine come out of the world. We won't join churchianity. We won't join the pride and vanity of the culture. We have to be careful that we can think. I mean, I know we're the people of God, the children of God, but we just have to be careful that we don't look at other people and go, yeah, we're better than them because we do this stuff, because we're not any better than them. We're not. We're just different and changed. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
The only thing we did was do what the Lord called and told us to do. We obeyed God.
Amen.
Well, that makes us different than them.
That makes, and by the Spirit we're different, and but for the grace of God, had repentance and faith not fallen our way, and we did not choose what we did when we did, we'd be just like those worldly people we're talking about. I was. I know some of you were. All of you were. Yeah, you. Everybody would have been just like those people. So it's just a good marker for us to realize that's why we want to keep striving more and doing more and more and more, because that's our reasonable service, to just keep doing more and more. It's not like extra kudos. It's just what our duty is. Like a husband serving a wife and a wife serving a husband, it shouldn't be like, oh, you're doing more wonderful things. It should be, he's doing what he's called to do and I'm doing what I'm called to do, and that's a beautiful covenant. That's what we're in with Christ. So that's pretty awesome. Thanks for that point, brother. Brother Kuo, any thoughts?
Let me check. I think a lot of my thoughts have been said already. I only have a few here. And that's kind of the cool thing about the Spirit, is we all say similar things. My first note that I made was on verse 17. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. And what came to mind for me was Matthew 10:41-42. Let me just look that up. And that says, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only, in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. That was the verse that kind of really came to mind for that one. Just saying, receive him as myself. Yeah. And my next note is on verse 21. And it's cool how the Spirit works. That came to mind as well. Going the extra mile, Matthew 5:41. I'll read it again if we haven't read it yet. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. I think that's a really, And we talked about that recently. I think that's a really important characteristic of someone who's walking in the Spirit, is they go the extra mile with people and do more than what is required of them. Yeah. And my last note is on verse 24, also talking about Demas, because I recognize that as well. In 2 Timothy 4:10, Demas left Paul because Philemon was written before 2 Timothy, and he left him for the world, and he calls him a fellow laborer here. And yeah, the verse that came to mind was 1 Corinthians 10:12 about take heed lest ye fall. Yeah. We talked about that as well. So those were my notes.
Yeah. Hey, brother, put some skin on. What does it mean to go the extra mile as a saint of God? Any of you brothers, I guess, could speak up. What does it mean to go the extra mile? Give me some examples of that.
We're told to go and proclaim the gospel, but it never hurts if they're not opposed to it, to bring it to their remembrance again, if they're not trampling the word of God and they haven't outright rejected it.
Yep.
I know I would have like a couple of chances at it instead of just, you told me once. Yep. Okay.
Amen. Good point. Any other examples of going the extra mile in the Christian life?
I know I can't think of like an example to give you, but it's the principle is to always go above and beyond what you're obligated and required to do more than what is expected.
Yeah.
So it could be as simple as like when you're repentant of something to perhaps see if you can make restitution for it and go the extra mile to try and repair what you've broken, just anything.
Yeah.
To go above what is expected.
Yeah. Yeah, this could go into anything. It could go into your studies. How much do you study, and do you study more and more, or do you just do barely enough? It could be in witnessing. It could be in loving the brothers. If you have a forum where y'all edify each other, do I do just a little? Do I try to do more? Just about anything you could imagine that you walk in the Christian faith. Remember, we talk about the five things, whether it's other than sleeping, you're working. Make sure you do an extra good job at your job so that you're a good witness. That's going an extra mile. Somebody once said, if you want to impress your boss, do your job and do it so good and so fast that you're helping the guy next to you to do his job. And that's like going the extra mile. You don't just do your job and go, okay, I'm going to slough off now while they all catch up. You go, I can help somebody else. And they go, man, look at this guy. This guy's on. And he's not just slacking off. He's wanting to go and help somebody else. So you're doing good in the Christian faith. Hey, I'm doing really good. Well, you know what? Are you looking to help your brother or sister to help them? Maybe they're not doing so good. So yeah, going the extra mile. It's a really good concept. If you're always pushing that paradigm of doing more, you will never find yourself doing less. Just makes sense, doesn't it?
Yes.
Make that your
goes in line with having a spirit that produces much fruit.
Amen. Amen. Anything else on the last part of this verse by verse on Philemon?
For some reason, this verse popped out at me for, you know, doing more. In 2 Kings 4:10, how the people Elijah met, you know, they made him, you know, I mean, they got him a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. It's like these people went the extra mile. They just didn't let him, like, lay on their floor.
That's a good point. Yeah. Yeah, there's all kinds of ways we can go the extra mile. There you go. Ready? Looking for ways to go the extra mile is going the extra mile in itself, is it not?
Yeah.
How can I be a better saint? How can I be a better brother? How can I be a better husband? How can I be a better teacher? How can I be a better street preacher? How can I be more glorifying to God? That's all going the extra mile. That's got to be all of our charge as we're working for the Lord and living in the body and working in the world or going out preaching in the world. So yeah, extra mile. It's a good theology to hold fast to. All right, we'll
especially for God.
I'm sorry?
Especially for God. You know, I mean, be thankful for things, but since the only real praise besides what we're supposed to do for the Lord is to thank Him for what He's done for us, you know, I mean, I hopefully you thank him more than just once when he does something amazing for you, and you don't forget about it. Like, you don't say, like, well, that happened last year. Well, that was really amazing what the Lord did for you. Maybe say thank you again, because yeah. you can't really do anything for him.
Amen.
He owns everything.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, and walking in the truth is glorifying to him and pleases him. And yeah, everything that we do, yeah, it's a really good concept. Not just skimping by, but going the extra mile in every way in the Christian life. All right, brothers, good job. We're going to end it right there.
I have one more thought.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
I know. I can't believe I didn't catch this before. Verse 22, but with all, prepare me also a lodging. I just caught this, and my mind jumped to Hebrew 13. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained strangers unawares. Why don't we talk a little bit about hospitality and how important it is to God?
Yeah, it's one of the requirements of like a leader, elder, that he be hospitable, one that would entertain or take care of people, invite them into their homes.
You know, that would also go, going the extra mile would be, that would be one. Like when you receive somebody, like, look at Abraham, like, go and killing a fatted calf. Or doing things like that and going above and beyond to make people feel welcome and feed them and take care of them. And I think it's kind of in Western culture become a dying thing. People are so selfish and absorbed with the nuclear family and all that, that going out and just taking in a stranger and showing them hospitality and all of that stuff has kind of become a dying thing in our culture. And the saints can't be like that, though, can we?
No, we shouldn't be. If we run across people that we can do that for, yeah, we should. Along with, obviously, the most important thing, bringing them the gospel. But, yeah, if you can help some people with basic true needs and be hospitable and you know, invite them to your table if you're sitting there. I mean, who wouldn't, if you're out having a picnic with your family and you saw somebody walking by and they said, I'm really hungry, who wouldn't invite them to eat some of your food? I mean, that'd be pretty selfish if you wouldn't.
Yeah, Matthew 5. Sorry, brother.
No, go on, brother.
Matthew 5:46 and 47. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same?
Yeah. Yeah, and that kind of goes along with what we were talking about, the work situation. We just did an audio about working out in the world as believers, and it kind of goes along the same way. We just don't want to, like, and I know none of my brothers or sisters do this, we don't want to shun the people of the world and not want to be around them. We want to be have the opportunity to be in their life as much as possible without sinning with them, to invite them to the gospel. That's just another avenue that you could do it in, is your work in your neighborhood where you live. I was telling a brother the other day, you know, you live in an apartment and there's 200 people live around you, there's no reason all those people shouldn't get the gospel in the mail. If you don't want to go knock on their door, that's not really accepted in our culture. The mailman comes around and will deliver the gospel for you. Just pay him 55 cents to do it. Not a problem. And you can go the extra mile and witness to all your immediate neighbors the gospel with your gospel card and invite them to come. That's going the extra mile. That's, ready? That's being hospitable. Invite all your neighbors to a Bible study and tell them, I'll feed you while you're here. That's hospitality, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, hospitality.
One more thing. Because he said prepare a place, like, or prepare me a lodging, it's kind of also what our Lord's doing, isn't it?
Yeah.
John 14, in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you.
Yeah. Amen. We have.
That verse at the end just jumped out at me. So
we don't have a city right now, but we're waiting for an eternal one to come. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. hospitality, really important. Always remember to, even within the body of Christ, we can't forget to do that with each other as well. So be generous, be hospitable, share, always be willing to give. This is good traits to have in the body of Christ, and it rubs off on other people, teaches them to do that. If we're selfish, that'll rub off. If we're generous and hospitable, that will rub off as well. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Anything else, brothers?
Now I'm done.
All right. We're gonna leave it right there. We'll put this up in the Ecclesia Gathering notes on that verse by verse. We'll be moving on to another book soon. God be praised.